Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
It's 8:50 and time now for our first look at the commodity market report for the day. And with our pre-opening summary, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan. And good Thursday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA released export sales information for the week ending September 21st. It looks like this. Wheat, 15.0 million bushels. Corn, 32.7 million. And soybeans, 31.8 million bushels. And the U.S. Census Bureau released its August crush for the month of August. It puts it at 142.05 million bushels. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. Slaughter hog prices across the Midwest today are called mostly steady, with only a few locations seen weaker after the pork cutout bounced back Wednesday afternoon from a sharp drop the day before and on ideas that producer resistance to the low prices could limit selling interest for the balance of the week. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $40. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Wednesday, September 27th, voluntarily reported negotiated swine purchases were 15,758 for the base market hog. On a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $54.50 to $63.36. The weighted average was $60.62. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $42.25 to $51.50. The weighted average $47.99. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 12,265. The base price range was $53.25 to $62.84. The weighted average was $60.88. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $41.29 to $46.50, and the weighted average was $44.03. Terminal markets today called mostly steady, with a couple of locations a little bit weaker and tops from $40 to $43.50.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. And Mike, as I was coming in this morning and looking at the stars, what a wonderful, crisp, clear morning it was.
Well, if you like the crispness of this morning, you're going to love tomorrow morning. Crisp conditions are expected across a good portion of the Midwest. Some lake-enhanced clouds will continue to filter into northern Indiana, southern Michigan, but outside of that area, skies are expected to be mainly clear tonight, and that will allow frosty conditions for Friday morning across Illinois, most of Indiana, Wisconsin, eastern Iowa, eastern Missouri. Lows in the 30s will impact the region. Too much cloud cover across the upper Mississippi River Basin for overnight tonight and into tomorrow will not allow significant frost or freezes to occur there. And then high temperatures across northern sections in the 50s and 60s over the next couple days. We'll keep things a little bit on the cool side, but right now there have been at least minor adjustments in the forecast for the upcoming week that shows temperatures to be a little bit above average. No big changes in the forecast made overnight for the coming 2 weeks. Again, a frequent succession of very weak weather disturbances will move across the Midwest during the first week of the forecast. Rain amounts well above average in the western Corn Belt, near to below average in the eastern Corn Belt and the eastern Midwest, with net drying expected, especially from the late weekend through most of next week, at which time temperatures expected to peak in the at least mid-70s and maybe upper 70s. And again, I talked about a little earlier this morning, latest computer model runs early next week across central Illinois, temperatures indicated to be in the mid-80s. Now, again, the computer models have really not latched on to any weather pattern, so we'll have to see what sort of adjustments come with the next run and obviously the ones following that. But indications are for significant warm-up after a chance for some scattered frost tonight, maybe a few areas getting down to the freezing mark, but again, no hard freeze expected across the Midwest. In the Delta and the Southeast, scattered showers will continue today across the Northern Delta, moving into the Southeast later today and into tomorrow. And once the shower activity clears out, the remainder of the next couple weeks looks to be favorable for field work, with only a few days of light showers hampering the progress across the Southeast. Big questions remain about the weather in South America. Brazil, rain is expected frequently in southern and central Brazil crop areas during the next 10 days to 2 weeks. Rainfall in the far north, a little bit more erratic, and light offering some temporary improvement to topsoil moisture, followed by periods of net drying. Southern Brazil's crop area likely to become a little too wet, with local flooding possible periodically over the next couple weeks. The region will require some net drying later in the month of October to support planting. And as far as Argentina's weather, there have been a few adjustments in the timing of weather systems that will be moving through the country. Computer forecast models are still disagreeing in the timing of the precipitation events, but they all agree that the weather disturbances will move through the nation more often, with a net increase in topsoil moisture still anticipated in the first half of October. And next week represents the first good opportunity for meaningful rainfall there. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Zola.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Wednesday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 479 1/4, up a quarter, last trade up a half. March 489 1/2, unchanged, last trade unchanged. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 424 3/4, up a half, last trade up 2 1/4. March 442, down a half, last trade up 2 1/2. July 451, unchanged, last trade up 2 1/2. December corn opened at 254, up a quarter, last trade up a half. March 267 3/4, unchanged, last trade up a quarter. May 275, down a quarter, last trade up 3/4. July 283 1/2, unchanged, last trade up a quarter. Redline December 296 1/2, up a quarter, last trade up 1. November beans opened at 542 3/4, up a quarter, last trade up 2 1/4. January 556, down a half, last trade up 1 3/4. March 567 1/2, unchanged, last trade up 2 1/2. May 577 1/4, up a half, last trade up a half. October soybean meal opened at 160.40, unchanged, last trade unchanged. October soybean oil opened at 23.70, up 1, last trade up 6. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, it looks like the export sales for soybeans continues to perk up, as it well should this time of year.
Yeah, it sure looked strong. Export bookings came in at just under 32 million bushel. The high end of the trade estimates was just a little bit under 30, so that ought to be very supportive to this market. However, we talked about meal last week being strong. Exports was a little on the weak side on export bookings there. Good yield reports probably keep a lid on soybeans going up, but I'd say 1 to 3 higher at the opening.
Crush a little bit lower this month for the August.
Yeah, and that's no surprise at the end of the tail end of the marketing year.
What about over on the corn export side?
The corn came in at 32.7 million bushel. It's interesting to note Japan, Taiwan, and Mexico were the big buyers. Japan was a big buyer in all three of the grains on this export bookings report. Trade estimate was pretty much, the actual number was pretty much in the middle of the trade estimates. We are seeing kind of a slowdown in the eastern Corn Belt harvest, a little cool weather, slow to dry down. An awful lot of talk about tomorrow morning's grain stocks report and whether or not corn stocks will come in above 2 billion bushel.
Certainly on technical charts, the corn acted a little toppy yesterday.
It sure did. We had a key reversal down. 260 was an old technical resistance area. Turned back down from there. We've got good support today around the 251.5, 252 level in December.
The corn call?
Corn call will be steady, a penny better.
In the wheat, we're continuing to hope for bigger export sales, but again, a week comes by without them.
Yeah, we just can't quite get the job done. Japan was the big buyer again, but 15 million bushels is not going to take anybody not going to be too exciting for anybody. Serious dryness that's developed in Australia, Argentina, parts of the Southwest Plains. Probably be supportive of this market steady to higher, probably.
You mentioned the quarterly grain stocks report coming out tomorrow. Is there anything in there that might be a starter for the trade, or is it pretty much a non-starter?
I think everybody's really keyed in on this corn number coming in around 2 billion bushel. If it's much above 2 billion bushel, it will be negative. On the soybean side, we've got to be below what USDA projected a month ago in the supply-demand report at 485 million bushel, I think, to be supportive because of the big yields that are coming in.
What about over on the Merck today?
At the Merck, I would say futures market in the cattle steady, maybe a half lower. We did have impressive box beef movement yesterday that kind of acted supportive, but we just can't seem to get much going there. I would just say we'll be on the weak side. On the hogs, probably lightly mixed, maybe up a quarter, down a half type thing. Packers had real good interest in the product yesterday, and I think we'll have a decent-sized Saturday kill, so that may be a little bit on the supportive side.
Ellen, thank you for your time today. Ellen Dearden of AgriView in Morton, Illinois. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.